Hello and welcome to Delicious Flavor, a Psych Rewatch podcast, which in this particular instance, we're not rewatching anything. We just finished watching Psych the movie. And yeah, that was pretty exciting. What do you guys think? New episodes for the first time since this show started.
Oh my. That's all I gotta say. Oh my.
Because I did this on Archie Digest recently, I'm Russ Burlingame, and with me are...
Sean Carpenter, I guess?
And Jenna Anderson.
Yay. This was, and I was like vague tweeting about this because I had no idea when I first watched it, like right after NBC gave me access to it. Mm-hmm. I was like vague tweeting about it because I had no idea if I was allowed to say anything. Mm-hmm. And it was like, oh, this was exactly what I wanted it to be. Like, is it perfect? No, but it is exactly what I want a feature length psych episode to be.
Absolutely. I mean, yeah.
It's not perfect, but it's psych.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but it's close enough.
Yeah. I'm kind of a little bummed, actually, because as we're recording this, the CW has just done its Crisis on Earth X crossover with all the DC shows. I'm kind of bummed that Rain and her daughter didn't show up in the Supergirl episode, because then this girl... Tremblay, I can't remember her first name. Emma? Maybe?
Yeah.
Emma. Who plays Iris, Chief Vic's daughter, mm-hmm. could have appeared in two of these like event movie things in the span of less than a week.
Would have been dope.
Mm-hmm.
Except, it was, you know, it, yeah. I'm the one behind on all the TV shows, so
oh, yeah.
This is the only thing that matters to me.
Well, I've spoiled for you now that the Supergirl villain is not in Crisis on Earth.
Oh my. Oh my. Not like I've seen worse on Twitter.
What a bombshell. But no, it was funny,
how dare you?
Russ, because I remember you referring to her as, like, when we were covering Supergirl, you referred to her as Iris. Yeah, and I was like, oh, I was like, it didn't occur to me that you were saying that because she literally plays her in the movie. I just thought it was, like, the trope of, like, the daughter that a character has or whatever. And I was like, oh, that's kind of funny that he threw that in. And then I'm watching the movie and I'm like, oh, it's actually her. Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But and she gets almost no screen time in this. I do like her.
Yes.
I as an actress, I like her. I think she's good in Supergirl too. It's weird to me that they did like the shoplifting subplot as the way to introduce her.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of get why, because like there's no really easy place to drop her in. But yeah. It does, like, if there's anything in this episode that felt like kind of throwaway, it mm-hmm. was the whole thing of her like getting into trouble and then potentially creating a conflict of interest for Julia and the chief.
Yeah.
And then like it just kind of goes away because the thin white Duke comes into the scene.
Yeah, I was like, I want to see this like gang of tween girls that she is apparently a part of. Yeah. I like expected that to come into the fold a little bit, and it never did.
I kind of totally want them to come up against Jules' yes. brother in the sequel.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Like John Cena and tween girls is a combination that needs to happen.
That
He's
would be
leading
great.
The tween girl gang.
Exactly. That's why the military is after him.
Of course. Duh.
Oh my gosh. That needs to happen now.
I mean, it's just psych enough that it would work.
Yeah, exactly. And I will say, speaking to the Chief Vic of it all, one of my favorite beats in this whole episode was when she just offhandedly references her husband getting ready for work or whatever it was. And Jules is just so taken aback. Like, wait, your husband's here?
He's never here.
Which is...
And yet we still don't see him.
Yeah, no, we still don't see him. But they at least call out that, like, we've never seen him and that their marriage is still not broken or anything.
Yeah.
Kudos to them.
It kind of reminds me of a couple of weeks ago, there was an issue of Savage Dragon, which is a comic book I read. And it was like number 229 and or 228, maybe. I don't know. Anyway, it's way up there. And because there is a comic book in story that like the main character licenses to a publisher so that he can like supplement his income. There was a villain who showed up for the first time in like 10 years.
Yeah.
And in dialogue, Malcolm was like, that's the Seeker. He hasn't been around since issue 96. And you're just like, I love this comic.
Wow.
But yeah, that I like, and they had a lot of kind of knowing winks and nods in this one. You know, there was the line where, I know what I want, Dad. This is not 2010 anymore. But I thought that probably the most kind of overtly, like, nodding at the audience was the thing about Vic's husband.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So,
I'm still at a loss for words.
Like, yeah, I'm like, where do we even start? There's so much.
Well, one thing I can say that's kind of general, and we're probably going to end up spoiling stuff. We usually do kind of a deeper dive conversation, and we're going to try to not be like, well, I was going to say we're going to try not to be super spoilery, but there's no way around it because we're going to want to talk about the villain.
Mm-hmm.
But
which one?
The villain. And
the villain.
And one of the best uses of music in the series.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing I will say.
Dungeon Blossoms.
Yeah. One of the things that I will say about it is that the pacing was really perfect, which is, it's nice because doing a feature length episode, it could have been really problematic if they just approached it like it was an episode of Psych and they hadn't made any kind of adjustments for that. Mm-hmm. And it probably helps that Steve obviously started his career writing features.
Yeah.
But that to me, it was like you get about 10 minutes into this and you're just like, oh, wow, this is cruising along at exactly the pace it needs to. Like, we did have the big, like, kind of breakneck pace of that first scene where he's trying to steal the bag of jewels.
Dressed as Hagrid.
Yes.
Which I remember I was writing in my notes. I was like, is he trying to be Hagrid because he's Hagrid? And then, like, immediately by the end of the scene, Gus is like, why did you steal my Hagrid costume? And I'm like, all right, good. Okay.
Yeah.
With his half of the soup can Sam beard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is just, that was a nice little touch.
Mm-hmm.
I love that guy. I can't remember his name for the life of me.
Gosh, yeah.
But the fence that they were stealing from, he had a recurring role in the first season of Nip Tuck. Which is to say the good season of Nip Tuck, because I think that, that show never recovered from getting renewed for a second season. Everything you see him in, like, that's who he is, but he plays it so well. And, like, to see him kind of in the third act where he does that kind of 180 and it's, like, the childlike wonder and all the, like, the fun that he was having with it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, man, that is a good, like, there are a lot of, like, I won't even say bit parts, because really there's no named character in this who gets less than, like, 5 minutes of screen time except for Lassiter and Buzz.
Mm-hmm.
But there are a lot of smaller roles in this movie that I'm like, wow, that like actor who easily could have been just anybody doing just anything really nailed what they needed to do.
Definitely, yeah.
It was perfect. It was like, that was the twist that really got me. I'm like, oh, so this is happening now.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
I think... And we might as well just kind of rip the bandit off and go in the direction of the villains, because after him, like, we talked, actually, we were all talking as we were kind of watching through it that, like, holy crap, Levi is great. I feel like he's almost a bright spot in this despite himself, because I was super worried when I saw how he looked and when the first time I heard the voice, I was like, is this going to be, like, too crazy? It's going to, like, totally rip you out of the reality of the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Too Bowie-like.
Yeah. But it really, like, he did a really good job of keeping it. And I guess part of it is that he, you know, I was worried that being, like, the big bad of the movie that he would have to keep up an air of like menace and unapproachability mm-hmm. that would have made that look and that feel and the like the Bowie of it all really silly and like jarring and kind of at odds with the character that I thought he was going to be playing.
Mm-hmm.
But once we figured out what was kind of going on and that he had somebody he was answering to, it was like, oh, he's like the crazy lackey, you know, he's the parrot from Aladdin.
Yes. That's a really good like comparison.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
there's a better comparison. There. I was trying to think of one, but I'm like, no.
But I do got to say that and maybe it's just because I was so completely like into the movie and I was just kind of, I wasn't watching it in the kind of analytic way that I watch a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
Like I wasn't trying to break down what was coming next. I was really just enjoying like, holy shit, we have new psych.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know about you guys. Did you guys see like Allison coming?
No.
I really didn't.
And I'm kind of surprised with myself that I didn't because like Mary was there.
Yeah, the one thing that sort of clued me in to it, I totally thought it was going to be just a weird reappearance of Yin.
Mm-hmm.
Like, mm-hmm. oh, he's not actually dead.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, I didn't even think of that. And it's funny because like for me, the Yin Yang trilogy, like if you had told me right after the movie ended or after the series ended, excuse me, oh, in a couple of years, we're going to make a psych movie. My immediate reaction would have been that it has to be either Despero or like a follow-up to Yin and Yang.
Mm-hmm.
Because those are really the two things that have the scope and the scale that can support a feature-length episode. And so I think it's really interesting that they managed to make it a Yin episode without really making it a Yin episode. Like, they kind of proved me right and wrong at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I was like, these are the things that could support a feature-length episode. And then they're like, let's go do a feature-length episode that's hung on Allison, but she gets 7 minutes of screen time.
Yeah. And now that you mention it, where's Despero?
Because
it was him that sort of started the rumor.
Yeah, it was weird because Carrie was the one who at some Comic-Con said that, like, oh yeah, we're going to be shooting a movie in July or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, I kept waiting for him to make like some random cameo. It wouldn't surprise me if they like scheduled it and it didn't happen, or if they shot it and they decided not to use it or something weird like that. But
it could have been like the last, like why John Cena was sort of a last minute addition.
Yeah, that's very possible.
He could have been scheduled in to come in and be like, why, hello, boys.
Mm. And actually, that would make a lot of sense with what the scene was with John Cena.
Yes.
Because if you take him out and replace him with Despero, there's like only two or three lines you need to change, and everything can stay exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much. So, could it have been that?
Maybe. That's something I hope that somebody... Yeah. That's something I hope somebody asks them during the press cycle. I still haven't been able to get hold of anybody, and because I'm doing this road trip in a week, I don't know that I'll actually get press for, like, air date.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just go bug Mel Trigger. Don't even know if he was involved with the movie, if I'm being honest. So
yeah, I'm not sure.
He's busy doing his own thing.
Yeah. I did like the kind of weird Legion of Doom aspect that Thin White Duke had going on, where he had his crazy supervillain versions of Gus and Juliet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man.
Which was really like, I feel like they threw in the thing of the black gentleman ninja having a not quite a super smeller, but like he definitely had a thing going on where he could smell the jerky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
that was
the moment when I'm like, oh, this is the team. I see.
Yeah. And the The one thing that really bugged me was the repeated giggles at the word dongle.
Yeah. That, and it's funny like
it
because...
It made sense from Woody, because Woody's literally a 12-year-old trapped in a 60-year-old body.
Yeah. Yeah, and it the joke worked from Sean the first time, and I could have done without any of them between when Sean laughed at it and when Woody laughed at it when they fished it out of the body.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that it's kind of, again, going to the Crisis on Earth X thing. It's like there you get these things where it's like, this is so close to perfect that I'm going to pick out on this one thing that bugs me because that's what I have, you know?
Yeah, that's really my one thing. It's like, could have done with a little less dick jokes.
Yeah. Yeah, and I can't blame you there. I almost feel like part of that was just them either riffing or taking advantage of the fact that the cable landscape has changed so much in the time since the TV show.
Yeah, that was what I was kind of thinking with it, too.
Yeah. It makes sense in the context of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's like how I felt about the Power Rangers movie. Like, a few too many dick jokes.
I still haven't seen it, but I'll take your word for that.
Yeah, me neither, but...
It starts off on a dick joke, essentially.
Oh, that's a bad look for, like, that franchise. Well,
it starts off on, oh, you meant to milk this cow, but it turns out it's a steer. And you jerked it off.
Oh, man. Yeah, which is one of those, that. Yeah, I was going to say, that's one of those jokes that I feel like, okay, we've seen that the number of times that we need to see it in the world, plus about 10.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you don't actually see it. You literally just hear it because it's not any of the Rangers. It's a throwaway line from a side character we never see ever again.
Mm.
Let me think. I guess if there's one thing that I was a little bummed by, besides you point out the dick jokes, and you're right, that was a little much. But I would, in a perfect world, have liked to obviously get more Lassiter and maybe more McNabb.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
But yeah. The limitations on Tim, and then the fact that they didn't actually go back to Santa Barbara, both completely justify those decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't expect Allison, even though she probably would have been my pick for the villain if I had to pick one for the movie. I similarly kind of feel like I had lost any, like, early on I was like, so when's McNabb going to show up? Especially when we got Ralph Macchio's character. And so I kept being like, okay, so when's McNabb going to show up? And it didn't happen. And then you got to the point in the movie where I got so sucked into what was going on that I kind of forgot that we hadn't seen McNabb yet. And then when they reintroduced him, I was just like, oh, perfect.
Of course he would be.
Yeah.
He would be the guy that Sean and Gus turn to, mm-hmm. to make sure these things happen so they don't die.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. At the Bureau... That's what we call the Internal Revenue Service.
Oh, and the whole, be this a warning to those who insult, chest pains.
That one, for those who are just joining us, you're going to hear this a lot in my life. That one really reminded me of a bit from Cheers. Like,
here's the delicious flavor drinking game.
Yeah.
But drink that was whenever Russ mentions Cheers.
when they first brought Woody Harrelson's character in, there was like a runner for like three seasons where he wanted to be an actor and he was just terrible at it. And occasionally, for whatever reason, he would like act in the bar.
Mm.
And it was always pretty much exactly that. And so I see that joke and I'm just like, oh yeah, I see exactly what they're doing.
And I can't believe they believed it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, here, the funny thing is that like, it could play both ways though. Like, mm-hmm. it could play to the, like, I believed it, or it could just play to the fact that, like, a crazy person was yelling that crap at me. Okay, so that's not a thing you can predict, really. And obviously, in this case, Sean could, quote-unquote, predict it, but I don't think any sane person would have expected him to, like, send a dude to follow them around doing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I thought that it even if they didn't believe it, it was still kind of like, okay, I could see them thinking that he's psychic off of it, because even if they're like, what is this asshole doing? Like, that's still a thing that would definitely stick out in your day.
Yeah. And you wouldn't, like, if you don't know that this guy is tied to Santa Barbara or to Sean and Gus, you wouldn't have put the two dots together.
Mm-hmm.
And my thing is, when did he come up to San Francisco? Like, I wanted a little more of, like, what was McNabb up to? Only because all we know is that he got married. He has a cat that is clearly a girl cat. And that's it.
If I had that's to guess, it's for, well, first of all, really the answer is that it's operating on, like, MST3K mantra logic.
Yeah.
Just
logic.
But if I had to guess, it's literally he's still working in Santa Barbara. He's still working with Lassiter. And Sean called him up and basically said, hey, I need you to come down here for a day or two and help me out with a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he probably goes to Lassiter and goes, I need like a day or two off. And it's to help out Sean and Gus. And he's like, ah, whatever. Go.
Yeah, exactly. I also kind of liked the fact that if we're going to have so little of Tim, I kind of like the fact that we didn't see any more of him and Sean together. Just because that relationship ended on such a totally perfect note in the finale.
Yeah.
That I kind of feel like if you're going to do a follow-up to that, you need to have enough screen time to do it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, definitely. Like, this was perfect given how close Lassiter and Juliet are.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I liked the fact that they played ever so briefly with the idea that, like, oh, what's she up to? Is Juliet secretly bad or whatever? And then pretty much immediately everybody was like, no, that's dumb.
Juliet's, well, we had that whole, she couldn't even be, like, mad and, like, bad cop to Sean and Gus. What makes you think she could ever, you know, actually do anything malicious?
Yeah.
So she's like, go, leave, please. No, not please, please.
Yeah.
So I never really thought Juliet was quote unquote bad. It was more of they were trying to just discredit her as an officer of the law.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tarnish her very, very good reputation.
Yeah, and it was, like I said, I'm very interested in kind of where they focused energy like that, and I get why building this around Juliet was like the thing to do, because then you don't have to. Building it around Juliet allowed them to have an internal logic to it being Allison.
Mm-hmm.
But if it had been somebody trying to settle a score with Sean and Gus, especially after they'd been essentially quasi out of business for a while, because it seems to me like Sean was just kind of taking jobs intermittently because he was having trouble with the department and he was having trouble with Gus. So if it was somebody who was specifically after them instead of Juliet, it would almost be like, okay, well, who are the characters from the series who might have come back for revenge?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas having her go after Juliet, and especially having them go after Juliet's partner, it just kind of became like, oh, so it's about the cops, and you don't even think that deeply about, like, is there somebody more?
Yeah.
Though, Gus only did, like, the whole Psych Francisco thing for, like, 11 days.
That's true.
So mm-hmm. he didn't give it enough time.
I'm definitely going to, by the way, buy myself a Psych Francisco mug.
Good.
My girlfriend wants a t-shirt.
Yeah.
Because it's just so silly.
It is. Yeah. It's perfect. I love when Juliet, like, attempts to spell it out, and then she goes, yeah, it doesn't really make sense. I'm just, I respected him and let him do that.
Like, yeah, yeah.
You know, it's a horrible spelling.
We're partners, and, yeah. You know, we support each other even when things don't make sense.
Yeah.
And even when one's wrong, or it's a dumb idea.
Speaking of when one's wrong, can we... for me, I'm really glad that they handled the engagement the way that they did.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, I one of the things about fast forwarding a few years to me was always that if you skip forward in time and you miss the wedding, then it becomes like a thing because you missed this kind of momentous part of the relationship that you followed for most of a decade. Yeah. And if you skip forward several years and you didn't miss the wedding, then I think the question becomes, like, what the hell's going on then?
Yeah.
And I was concerned that, like, they were going to have had some silly falling out and be will they or won't they and then reunite at the end of the movie. And it was like, no, they found a way that kind of made mostly sense, especially within Sean's character arc.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, within the world of Sean... the justification for it kind of worked.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, like, they were they moved to a new place. They were trying to get their life back together. Also try to find that ring because it's pretty much a priceless family heirloom at this point.
Mm-hmm.
That may or may not have some sort of mystical abilities to not cause divorce or something like that.
Yeah. luckily for them, they didn't have, like, Felicity Smoke there to steal the wedding or anything, so.
You just had to throw that in there.
I did, everyone's I really did.
Those jokes
oh, man.
It was nice to see them get married. But, I was talking about Sean and Jules, not...
Oh, yeah. That's the one wedding I actually care about in yeah, this yeah. whole debacle.
But, yeah,
That Woody wanted to be the maid of honor.
Uh-huh.
Again, it's Woody, so it makes sense within its yeah. character.
I did like the chili dog joke, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Of course it would be a chili dog.
Just one of those, like, that was so far over the top, I don't know why I found it funny, but I did. But,
I love Henry's, like, increasingly hipster aesthetic throughout the entire thing of just the, like, I'm going to do all this insane hipster stuff. And then by the end, he's just like, ah, screw it. I'm going fishing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fun because I, of course, know young people.
You're doing a podcast with two of them right now.
No, I'm talking
and
about
clearly her. Jenna and I love taking unicycling classes.
Yeah, obviously.
On our free time.
I'll say it this way, without saying anything that would get me in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
I know a person who is in close proximity to me who has taken unicycling classes. So,
nice.
So that joke spoke to me on a visceral level.
Mm-hmm.
My thing was it unicycling that drew the line? Like, did he just, like, listen to himself say unicycling class? And you know what? That sounds ridiculous. Never uh-huh. mind.
I would have paid money for that, like, mid or post credit scene, though, of Henry in a unicycling class.
That's true.
Like, that would have been so good.
Or just, you know, at the drumming circle, or learning how to play the ukulele, or just anything that he mentioned or even references in his hipster aesthetic, and I'm just like, oh boy.
Another thing I kind of want to see, by the way, I when we get the sequel, because ostensibly there's several sequels planned, and I assume that this one will do at least well enough to justify, you know, the next couple. When we get the next sequel, I kind of want them to do a flashback like they did in the series. Mm. But instead of just recasting Sean for the 130th time, just use one of the previous Seans and have it be a flashback to like 3 years before the series happened.
Oh, that would be great.
Or just, you know, put Rodea in makeup.
Yeah.
Just have Rodea just some kind of duck, like just crouch down a tiny bit.
But I just love the idea.
Put a long hair wig on Rodea, and just like some weird like mutton chops and a soul patch and nothing else
there you
on his face, and just the leather vest for some strange reason. Just make it all like really just out there.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, like I want that, but also at the same time, I would love to see one of the younger Seans like come full circle in that sort of way.
What actually is James doing right now?
What I would love. I would love it if in one of the upcoming sequels, Liam James was the killer.
Ooh.
Like, just have him be the bad guy. And
yes.
It's obviously he wouldn't be young Sean. He'd have to be a different character. But it's not like we've never had that in this franchise before.
Mm-hmm.
I do like the fact
that... What is he up to right now?
Well, I'll finish my thought while you're looking. I do like the fact that because we didn't head to Santa Barbara and we didn't see Despero, like when I first asked Rodea about, okay, so this is the big reunion, everybody's together again. This is obviously going to drive a lot of attention. Everybody's going to be excited. What do you do to keep that excitement going? And like, really, we still have plenty of reunion to go.
Yes.
Like, for fans of the show, I think you could easily, like, hang the second one on being, like, Lassiter versus Despero.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody'd be like, oh, okay, I'm in. Because these are not only, like, not only is that a solid idea, but it's also characters who didn't pop up in psych the movie.
Mm-hmm.
We gotta bring Gus's parents in, for one. But recast Gus's dad a third time.
Yes.
And this time it has to be James Earl Jones, just to mess with everyone.
I was going to say the guy who played Bud on The Cosby Show.
Except he's about the same age as Dulé.
Oh, no,
I know.
And he was already on the show.
That's true. I do like the fact that they referenced that in this episode.
Yes.
Man, and I wish I'd seen you dropped. When you were younger. Yeah.
So apparently his mom just answers strangers' phone calls who ask about
which seems like
favorite sandwiches.
Seems like a terrible idea considering like the yin yang thing.
Yes.
Like, wouldn't you have thought that after somebody became obsessed with Sean's family, that Sean and Gus would have just put out the general memo, oh, by the way.
That whole plot line with the girlfriend was like, it was just zany enough for it to work, but it was kind of one of those things where if I actually sat and thought about it, I was going to poke some of the holes into it, where I'm just like, no, you wouldn't, like, his mom wouldn't answer and say, oh yeah, he likes the sandwiches this kind of way. Like, no person would really do that and whatever, but just like within the confines of that subplot or whatever, I thought it was just great because it was just so ridiculous.
I mean, seeing how Gus-like she was.
Yes.
That is a total Gus thing to do, though. Which is weird to think about. Because I don't want to think about it.
Well, I think part of it is that Gus has a sense of social context that Sean lacks.
Mm-hmm.
And I almost feel like she was the Sean version of Gus. Like, these are things that Gus would want to do, but would resist for various reasons. And she just goes ahead and does it.
Mm-hmm.
And okay. I think it's one of those things where you also couldn't have swung it the other way, because if it's a guy doing that, then it becomes creepy and dangerous.
Exactly, yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, this thing only just wrapped filming like 6 months ago. So
yeah,
mm-hmm.
they had 2017 in mind already.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
I do. I will say I like the fact that they managed to get through this whole thing. And other than the Covfefe reference,
mm-hmm.
That it wasn't affected by like the toxicity that is the last year and a half of our lives.
Yeah.
Definitely. Though the Covfefe reference was perfect.
Yeah.
My girlfriend literally turned to me and just said, "Did he just say Covfefe?" And I'm like, "He did.
Mm-hmm.
He did, in fact."
But I don't know. I'm actually somebody who really likes like commentary and politics in my entertainment, and I tend to poo-poo people who piss and moan about it. But I will say,
it's not the show to do it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, and also I've kind of reached, I've reached critical mass with everybody who has a very special episode, deciding that they're gonna attack 2017 in the same way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean. The Crisis crossover sort of is a meta commentary on
absolutely, yeah.
Nazis, oh yeah,
and, you know, Nazis are bad, and you should punch them in the face at any chance you get.
Yeah, and I didn't mind it there because, like, frankly, there's a lot of reasons it didn't bother me. First of all, because Supergirl was involved, and Supergirl's always pretty overt with that stuff. Secondly, because Earth X is a thing that's been like around since long before I was born in the comics, and so I thought that. It was a slightly different way of dealing with it than like what Supergirl's been doing on the like on the regular.
Mm-hmm.
It gets a laugh, but it's also the exact same thing that you're seeing on like every show on television. And I'm just kind of like, I'm kind of done with it. Whereas incorporating it into the narrative in a creative way is a little bit different than just being the 10th person to be like. Get it? Get it?
Mm-hmm.
Right. But, you know, I still liked the Covfefe reference because
oh, yeah, totally.
It's just
yeah.
a nonsensical thing that even if it weren't tweeted out by anyone,
mm-hmm. yeah.
Sean probably would have said at some point in time.
Exactly, yeah.
And that's kind of
a total
thing.
Seanism.
Yeah, yeah. It's also it's as much a pop culture thing as it is a politics thing, because obviously in the grand scheme of things, it had no political relevance at all.
It was just a weird thing that we don't know if it was a typo or if it was intentional.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like it's the kind of thing where it would have been in Sykes' wheelhouse, even in the like pre-Trump era. And they would have done this if that was anybody's tweet
mm-hmm.
and it went viral because it fit the context and it was really a pop culture thing. Like, so to me,
it had Pokemon Go in this.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Which was freaking hilarious. Like,
yeah, that was a perfect use
Pokemon
of
Pokemon Go and 10K egg, which Jigglypuff mm-hmm. does not appear in a 10K egg. I don't think so.
I don't know. I've never played it, although back when it first became super popular, I was at, I think it was San Diego Comic Con, maybe New York.
Everyone was playing it.
And yeah,
it
I was
up
like,
first at San Diego.
Well, I was literally sitting at a table at like a restaurant
mm-hmm.
with people from work, and there were like six of us there, and the other five were all playing fucking Pokemon Go on their phones while we were waiting for our food to come. And I'm like, okay, guys, really? So
yeah, that sounds about right. I mean, people were dressing up as the Pokemon Go servers at Comic-Con 2016. That's that and the other. No, Jigglypuff is not in a 10K egg.
There we go.
Thank you for that clarification,
I mean, it could hatch, theoretically, but your best chance is to use a 2K egg.
All right.
There. For all of you who are still playing Pokemon Go.
There you go.
To the five of you. Still playing Pokemon Go.
And
because
since
Hoho is coming, have fun.
And since I'm an old person and I've never played it, none of those words mean anything to me. But
Jigglypuff is the pink balloon thing. Did you ever play Super Smash Bros?
No. I'm
well, it's the other Pokemon in that game besides Pikachu.
Yeah, I've never been a big game, like a gamer. I think the last time I actually owned a console myself and played on the regular was a Sega Genesis.
Nice.
Okay, so pre-N64.
Correct. Yeah. Cool. And at one point, my ex-girlfriend and I bought like a PS1.
Mm-hmm.
And what I discovered was because games had changed so much since I'd played last that all I could really play was like sports and fighting games, and I sucked terribly at everything else.
I still do, and I've been playing them for the better part of 17 years.
Wow.
So I'm still awful.
I probably would be too, but I can use the fact that I haven't played like with controllers that have that many buttons as an excuse.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah.
But I'm trying to think if there's anything else that I really wanted to talk about in the movie. Is there any kind of final thoughts that you guys want to make sure that we touched on that we didn't?
I mean, it kind of was a who's who of NBC Universal faces.
That's true.
I also found it kind of... Oh, wait, no, you go on your tangent first.
Okay. Yeah, with Levi and Huntington being in it. And, like, I knew he was going to be in it because Maggie posted a picture with him in it. I'm like, what is he doing up in Vancouver? So that was not subtle at all.
No.
The only thing missing from it is anyone from Warehouse 13. Mm. But the only person that would have theoretically worked, whether it be Pete or Artie already exists in the Psych universe as the director for the Spanish soap opera.
Oh, so yeah, that's right.
That wouldn't have flown too well.
Mm.
Although that would have been a nice deep cut to bring back if he was like shooting a commercial in Chinatown while they...
Yeah, that would have been funny. No, I was going to say, I think it's funny with Levi, like the fact that Levi is in this movie and then John Cena is in this movie when everyone would not shut up about John Cena being Shazam. And then
I know.
Both, like, you have like the fan cast for Shazam and then you have actual Shazam in this movie that was filmed 6 months ago before any of that was even a thing.
Yeah, no, I thought about that too. As soon as, because I forgot Cena was going to be in this, and then when he popped on screen, I was like, "Oh yeah, he's in this." And then my next thought was, "Oh yeah, he was going to be Shazam for a minute."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I just kind of I loved the like weird coincidence of that.
Yeah, no, totally.
The last thing I'm going to say on Levi is that still the same blonde from finishing Ragnarok?
I don't know.
I mean, he was only in Ragnarok for like less than 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Not even a single line of dialogue, just dead.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm kind of stunned that they actually got him back for it. Like, what was the point? But
I think it was just to kill them off so that people can't, like, question where the warriors
were. Yeah, where they were.
Yeah.
No, I get that.
They could have easily brought in the guy who did it in the first movie.
Oh, yeah.
Or even just, like, a body double who kind of looks like Zach Levi.
Yeah.
Like,
just put Matt Damon in that costume. You're all good.
There you go.
Exactly.
I mean, it's not the first time the MCU's recast someone. Notable. I mean, they did recast Thanos for Christ's sake.
We could have just made it Don Cheadle.
Don Cheadle. Whole Thanos recasting thing. Thanos was originally played by a black guy in the first Avengers. You know, subtle things like that.
Although I do feel like I don't know, there's a whole other tangent to get on, but the Thanos thing is a little different, mostly just because
they needed a placeholder at that
time. Yeah, it was just a placeholder, and he was a friend of Whedon's, and it wasn't like he was ever going to be Thanos.
Mm-hmm. You know? No, I just saw something on Twitter about it today. That whole dream sequence was just...
Oh my god, yes.
Everything, like, that's the visual effects budget that Psych needed.
Yeah.
Just there goes all your visual effects money right there.
And again, like, I know I alluded to it, but we didn't really talk, like, I loved the use of the gin blossoms for this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not just the, like, the reference to it in the dream sequence, which was hilarious, but like in the final fight when the payoff came and it was like you're fighting to Allison Road. I kind of want to know how they pitched that to the Jim Blossoms, like, management.
Mm-hmm.
They're probably like, oh, so someone's actually recognizing the Jim Blossoms again. Sure.
True.
Yeah.
That's fair.
The only time you hear about the gin blossoms is if you stay up late at night watching cable TV and the power ballads of the eight or power ballad like song compilation comes your way and you just oh, there's the gin blossoms. They're still a thing.
But yeah, right. overall, like I said, this was near perfect for me. This was exactly what I wanted it to be. And I'm always loath to say any piece of entertainment is perfect because you can nitpick things if you want to. But it was good enough that I have no desire to nitpick it.
Yeah. It was the right amount of psych at the right time. Like, other than this podcast, 2017 was like that weird, like it's been 3 years since Psych ended. And like, I went into 2017 thinking, you know, I wonder when they're going to announce like the Psych movie. Cause there was always talks about it. And I know that everyone was sort of busy. Cause I mean, Tim had Gallivant and Supernatural. Dulé had Broadway Ballers.
That superhero movie he did. Splice? Was that him? Is that what it was called? Slight.
Slight. Yeah.
Because it was.
I interviewed the director. We talked about this, I think, at the time, but I was supposed to interview Dulé, but it was. The interview was the day I reported on the Psych movie happening.
Mm.
And it wasn't official yet. I had just found the quote from Carrie. And then it was like, I got a call that was like, Dulé's having some scheduling issues. Can you talk to the director instead? And I'm just like, I wonder if those scheduling issues have to do with the fact that they saw my name and thought I was probably going to be a bad boy.
Well, yeah. And that was in part with WWE films. And
yeah, that's right.
About sleight of hand magic and
all that. I wonder if Cena's an EP.
Possibly. Possibly. I didn't even remember that was a thing.
Yeah.
I almost saw it in theaters, but then the Red Circle was out.
Yeah, I almost saw it in theaters, and I think it came out the same week as the Belko Experiment. And I went and saw the Belko Experiment instead because I wrote the comic book tie-in. And I was kind of like, I feel like I should see this movie. And then it didn't matter because I literally completely forgot that I'd ever gotten a chance to see it in theaters. Like, I was having a conversation with my wife like 3 months later, and I said, like, I can't believe I never saw that. And she's like, you said you and Zach saw it. And I like, I waited and like thought, and I'm like, oh yeah, we did see that. But because I'd seen it like 8 times, like on my computer screen when I was trying to write the comic, it was like, I somehow my brain was just like, nah, that wasn't important.
Well, I mean, you were trying to, you know, get a Psych podcast together too at that time.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Any final thoughts before we go around the room?
This came at just the right time.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see what else they have up their sleeve in terms of other movies.
Yeah. I'm excited to see, like, this one was obviously the Christmas movie and, it was probably the least Christmassy of all the Christmas things that Psych has done. But I will say that now that they've done the holiday movie, it looks like they're going to have like the spy movie next. And I'm intrigued by the idea of them doing like a Psych franchise of TV movies where each one is like its own weird thing.
Yeah.
Just some weird nonsense with these characters.
Yeah, things exactly.
They couldn't have done with the TV show.
Psych in space. We've talked about this.
Exactly, yeah.
Of course. Like, season 8 was that season where it's like, okay, we're ending. What do we do?
Yeah.
Zombies, remake, Harry Potter.
Yeah. That actually, I would love, and by love, I mean, I wouldn't really love if they actually did this, but on principle, I would love it. If, you know, okay, so we're going to do these 7 sequels or whatever. When you get to the last one, if they just did a remake of the pilot.
But you split it in two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you split it into 2 different parts, and so that way it's 7 and 8.
Uh-huh. There you go. And for half of it, he's wearing the flashback wig.
Yes.
Yeah. The CW flashback wig.
Exactly. They'd have to get that from someplace. Although I think Stephen Amell said he burned it.
I would not be surprised.
But I thought that was Future Barry's wig, too.
Oh, yeah. That's a good point. Yeah.
Was it Future Barry's wig?
I don't think it literally was, because they don't have the same color hair. But yeah.
No. That's the joke, that they only have, like, one wig and one yeah. fake beard.
God, who was it that had a terrible beard recently? I don't know. We're going to get off track. where can people find you guys on the internet?
I think we're going to keep this one in order this time.
Yes.
So we're going to start off with me.
Yes.
All right.
Okay. So, Twitter, @SnarkySean. I mean, usually that's where I tweet about Hyperforce, the new Power Rangers RPG. That's pretty much it. My most popular tweet at the moment is one where I just said flute crate, which is a reference to a recent episode that most people probably won't see that bit, but you know, it got a like from some of the cast, so that's cool. Nice. I sorta write stuff for the Marvel Report. At the time of recording, the only thing I have written within the last couple of months, actually it's the last couple of weeks, not last couple of months, I did write something earlier this month, it was about Marvel Heroes Omega shutting down and that whole nonsense that happened with Gazillion and Marvel.
Yeah.
Marvel was just like, no, you're done. And Gazillion was like, the Gazillion CEO was like, okay, just fire my entire staff, don't pay them anything, happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And run away with all their money.
Mm-hmm.
And the game officially closed the week after, I want to say, the week after Thanksgiving. So it was like the Monday or Tuesday
yeah.
after I had received notification and I tried to log on and I took a picture and I'm like, oh, I guess I'll never get the chance to play as Squirrel Girl.
Oh.
Whatever. I ran through the game like 3 times as Star-Lord.
Nice.
Just because he's broken. Any character with guns was broken.
That feels like an unintentional piece of commentary. But that's...
Yes.
Yeah. It's unintentional, but also very intentional.
Getting very deep with your plugs.
Oh, yeah. Very deep. Zombie Radio is another thing I do. We're going through the comic at the moment and just literally issue by issue and just like giving our general thoughts on it and just loving the fact that there's a were-terrier in the universe.
Oh yes. Yeah.
Because reasons.
Yes.
And listen, as Chris constantly keeps forgetting to call her Gwen and not over and over again.
Yep.
Because it's funny. And then Geekishly Toku Podcast, which is still being worked on. It's supposed to be coming back. Things are supposed to happen. But they haven't.
Yeah.
So, yeah. That's me, I think.
All right. Well, I am on Twitter at Hey, it's Jenna Lynn. There you can find a link to all of the articles that I write for comicbook.com. It's weird that we're recording this and then we're going to post it like relatively soon after, because I'm so used to the like 15 weeks out kind of mindset. But so I guess when the movie comes out, all of the Arrowverse shows will be on their mid-season finale and stuff. So you can go read my coverage about that. And then I have another podcast called Tomato Tomato. It's a movie podcast that deals with Rotten Tomatoes and how much of a fun thing that is. And so if you want to listen to our Justice League episode or any of our other past episodes, they're all there for you to check out.
Listen to the Thor episode.
Thank you.
And you can find me on Twitter at Russ Burley Game, RussBurlingame, because I had somebody ask recently, yes, I really do have to spell that out every time, not because I think our average reader is stupid, but because every person in the world seems to spell my name wrong.
Huh.
Yeah, it's phonetic. I don't know why they spell it wrong. I get a lot of Russes with one S and a lot of Burlingtons instead of Burlingames.
Hmm.
So that's why...
I never once misspelled your name. But then again, I hear you spell it almost every week.
That's true. So that's true.
I think I've gotten it down at this point.
Uh-huh.
But that is a, if you've ever wondered why I do that every time I say my name, there is actually a reason. But you can also follow me at ECV_podcast for the Emerald City video podcast. And I too work at comicbook.com. So if you go to either.
What?
I know, right?
What a surprise.
So if you go to either Emerald City Video or comicbook.com, you can pretty much find everything I do, including this and Archie Digest, a Riverdale podcast, and all kinds of other fun things.
Literally just click the DC tab and you'll see both of their names pop up quite a few times.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Pretty much that's how that works at comicbook.com. Yeah.
And this is coming from me, the one person here who doesn't work at comicbook.com.
Yeah.
The outsider. Ooh.
I know. But thanks, guys, for listening. We would love it for you to like, rate, and subscribe this on iTunes or your podcast machine of choice. We are available now on Apple Store and all that kind of good stuff. So by all means, you can do that. You could do Stitcher, Blueberry, and Podbean. And so we're pretty easy to find now, and you should subscribe to us in as many of those places as you are, because what the hell? Why not? You want more of us in your life. And
it's delicious.
It is indeed. It's delicious. Just like that pineapple that Sean cut up for the road.
Yes.
With 1 minute left to go in the movie.
Yes.
Well, I don't think he managed to grab it and take it out with him. It might have got caught in the crossfire.
That's possible. That's all.
Which is quite unfortunate.
But for our version of Delicious Flavor, you can check back in just a few days. And as I was telling these guys, I'm traveling and not going to be working my day job in the same way that I am, because I'm doing a set visit. So I will be editing a lot of audio while I travel to and from Ireland on the airplane. And so hopefully there will be a few new episodes of Delicious Flavor to come out on something close to a schedule in the next few weeks. So enjoy that. And we really hope you enjoyed our look at Psych the movie. If you, for some reason, listen to this without watching it, I don't know why. go watch it. And please be aware that we did tell you there would be spoilers. So, thanks very much, guys. And we'll see you soon.